Compassion is a term that explains both a feeling and the action triggered by that feeling. Sharing the feelings of others, especially feelings of sorrow or anguish. Also feeling that someone needs leniency or forgiveness is explained by a multitude of words like sympathetic, merciful, kind. These feelings trigger acts of gentle clemency, pity, or mercy. The result when the feelings are accompanied by the appropriate action is compassion. Compassion, being gracious, having pity or mercy, showing kindness or giving forgiveness. There are three details that I want you to understand about compassion. Number one, detail number one. We receive information, are moved by that information, and pass on compassion in response. Detail number two, compassion is one facet of the love Jesus commanded of His followers. And detail number three, in scriptural usage, compassion is always both a feeling and the appropriate response or action based on that feeling. Here's what I mean by that. First of all, God is compassionate. Asaph reviewed the history of God's people in Psalm 78, instructing the hearers to listen to the lessons, to learn to obey God, and to lend their understanding of God's truth and wisdom to their children. In review of the Israelites, he said that they were a rebellious people. They rebelled against God by disregarding His miracles, by refusing to obey God, by complaining against God when they doubted Him, by lying to God, by their insincere commitment to Him, by being faithless, and by worshiping other gods. As you continue to read through Psalm 78, God became angry with them. He caused them to suffer failure and terror. He killed many of them, and He allowed many of them to be killed. He even chose to leave from dwelling among them. He allowed the Ark of the Covenant, to be captured. And then He rejected the northern tribe of Ephraim. As Asaph reviews all of this information, he gets to the point that God felt for His people, even in the times of their disobedience and disregard toward Him. He continued to help them. God miraculously delivered the people from Egypt. He divided the Red Sea. He guided them by a cloud and a pillar of fire. He provided water from a rock. He fed them when they were hungry with manna and quail. He forgave their sins. He settled them into the promised land. He rescued them from their enemies there. He chose Jerusalem as the place for His temple. And He chose David to rule over them. Notice the words of Psalm 78, verse 38. But He, speaking of God, but He, being compassionate, forgave their iniquity and did not destroy them. And often He restrained His anger and did not arouse all His wrath. God was very kind towards His people. When God sees humanity, He sees His creation of flesh. And though He is angered by our sin and can be moved to great wrath, God is also moved by His own compassion, so that He restrains His anger. He withholds His wrath. Then He passes on compassion and forgiveness. David in Psalm 100 verse 3 wrote in verse 13, "Just as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear or revere Him." God is described as a compassionate father toward those who respect Him. And when He sees their respect for Him, He is moved by that fact. He is moved by that information and responds to them with compassion. The prophet Hosea explained God's case against sinful Israel in Hosea chapters 11 through 13. He explained that concerning Israel, that their sin was great. Their sin was a sin of deceit. It was a sin of ungodly alliances. It was sins of dishonesty and boasting and pride and even idolatry. In all these things, their sin brought on poverty. Their sin brought on physical death, and their sin caused them to be exiled, to go into exile. But God saw them. God saw them in their poverty. God saw them suffering from physical death. God saw them suffering in exile. And He gave them a great invitation. The invitation was to realize their hopelessness, to confess then and forsake their sins and return to God. Listen to Hosea chapter 11, verses 8 and 9. God questioned, "How can I give you up, O Ephraim? How can I surrender you, O Israel? How can I make you like Admah? And how can I treat you like Zeboiim? My heart is turned over within me. All my compassions are kindled. I will not execute my fierce anger. I will not destroy Ephraim again. For I am God and not man, the Holy One in your midst, and I will not come in wrath." God is not like man. God is compassionate. And because He is compassionate, He teaches us compassion. He feels compassion for humanity, and then He gives compassion to people. So we understand compassion because of God. God is compassionate. And Jesus Christ exemplified God's compassion. Jesus, first of all, illustrated God's compassion by His preaching and healing. Fresh on our minds from Jeff's lesson this morning, Matthew chapter 9, verses 35 through 38, illustrate what Jesus saw, what Jesus felt, and what Jesus called for by way of His compassion. There in Matthew chapter 9, verse 35 says, "Jesus was going through all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness. Seeing the people, taking in the information, seeing the people, He felt compassion for them. He was moved within. Because they were distressed and dispirited like sheep without a shepherd." When Jesus looked at the people, He saw people who were distressed. He saw people who were dispirited. He saw them like a sheep without a shepherd. Because He saw them, He felt compassion for them. Then He called for more workers. He said to His disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Therefore, beseech the Lord of harvest to send out workers into His harvest." Jesus acknowledged that there are few who are truly in a position to share the compassion that He has given. There needs to be far more, many more. And so He called upon His disciples to beseech the Lord of the harvest, the one who's in control of the harvest, the one who grants the profit or produce of the harvest, to send out more workers, more people who understand God's compassion, more people who can share that compassion. Jesus Himself exemplifying that compassion by illustrating it in His preaching and teaching, and also His healing. Jesus also personified God's compassion. He personified God's compassion in His own concern for lost humanity. If you look at Luke chapter 19, beginning in verse 41, we find that Jesus is approaching Jerusalem. And when He approached Jerusalem, He saw the city and wept over it. Jesus was moved within because of what He saw in the city of Jerusalem. He said in verse 42, "If you had known in this day, even you, the things which make for peace, but now they have been hidden from your eyes. For the days will come upon you when your enemies will throw up a barricade against you and surround you and hem you in on every side. And they will level you to the ground and your children within you. And they will not leave in you one stone upon another because you did not recognize the time of your visitation." Unbelief makes Jesus weep. It makes Him cry freely and profusely from sadness or distress. He wept over the city of Jerusalem because what Jerusalem did not recognize, did not realize. And He was moved with compassion. Jesus also demonstrated God's compassion in His sacrifice on the cross. Romans chapter 5 and verse number 8, a familiar passage to many. God demonstrates His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God demonstrated His love. Jesus demonstrated God's compassion. These demonstrations were done while we were still sinners, when we were disobedient to God. That's compassion. It's a compassion which God has. God and His Son then saw us as sinners. They were moved to demonstrate love for us as they had planned even before the foundations of the world. Thus, God sent His Son, and Christ chose to die in obedience to the Father and for us, for our sins and for our forgiveness. So even on the cross, Jesus exemplified God's compassion. Recall the three details that we need to understand about compassion. Detail number one is that we receive information. We take it in, whether we look and see people or we hear their stories, we hear the account of how they are doing, we receive information. We are moved internally by that information, and then we pass on compassion in response. Detail number two was that compassion is one facet of the love Jesus commanded. And that third detail was that in scriptural use, compassion is always both the feeling and the appropriate action based on that feeling. In the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5, verses 4 through 7, Jesus said, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted." God sees you when you mourn, and God will comfort you. Because when God sees you mourn, He feels for you. And He will give you what is needed. In this case, comfort. "Blessed are the gentle, for they shall inherit the earth." God sees you in what you do toward others. God sees you in your interactions with others and how you respond to them, and whether or not you have compassion, and whether or not you make that compassionate feeling become an action that actually meets the need. "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied." God satisfies. God knows whether we are hungering and thirsting after righteousness. God sees that. God is moved by His compassionate nature, and therefore He will satisfy our every desire and need in righteousness. "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy." God is watching. God knows who gives mercy and who withholds it. God knows, and God will reward the merciful with mercy. Jesus said in John chapter 13 and verse number 34, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another even as I have loved you, that you also love one another." Jesus loved us with a love of compassion. He loved us with compassion. He commanded that His followers then love one another as He has loved each one of them. Being one of His followers, we understand God's great compassion because Jesus exemplified it. He illustrated it. He taught it. He demonstrated it for us. So we understand it. And now we are to use that same compassion to give to others. James exhorted Christians in this way: "Obey the royal law commanded in the Scriptures." Then he quoted this in James chapter 2, verse 8. "You shall love your neighbor as yourself." You want to show compassion to others? Love your neighbor as you love yourself. In this passage, James shows that to break this law is to break all the laws. And to show no mercy is to receive no mercy. Then James contrasts having only a head faith, a faith that speaks compassionate words to others without any action, and contrasts that with having head, heart, and hand faith like that of Abraham and Rahab, two examples that he puts forth. Abraham considered what God was able to do for him and for his son. When God called him to offer up Isaac, Abraham considered what God was able to do, that God was able to raise him up again if he were to die. But God could also provide another sacrifice. God could also raise up more children to him if he so desired. Either way, God's will was to prevail. Abraham, considering those things, then acted upon it, and he believed God. He took God at His word, and he took God at His command and instruction. As James reports it, James chapter 2, verses 9 and following, he offered up Isaac, his son, on the altar. We know that before that had to take place, the hand of Abraham was stopped. Why? Because God is compassionate. As a result, then he offers up Rahab. And he says, "Consider the messengers." And he received the messengers. or Rahab received the messengers, and then she sent them out another way. And James says, this is what compassion does. It sees, it receives information, and based on that information, it is moved to do something to help others. And as a response, then, compassion is given. Jesus instructs, or rather John, his apostle, instructs children of God, those who were his own beloved. He called them little children. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 18, he said, little children, let us not love with word or with tongue, but in deed and truth. When we see a brother in need, we must not close our hearts against him. We must even be ready to lay down our lives for the brethren. John was practicing and teaching and sharing what Jesus had commanded, John 13, verse 34. So it is that we share one more passage with you, Colossians chapter 3, verse number 12. Colossians chapter 3, verse number 12. Paul's discussing putting on the new self and how the new Christian is to live and to walk in accordance with God's will. And he says in verse 12, Colossians 3, so as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. If you are a Christian, you have been chosen by God. You are holy. That means you are set apart by God for Himself and for His service. You are also beloved, meaning you are dearly loved by God. God wants you to put on compassion. Put on a heart of compassion. Just one facet of the love that Jesus commanded that we are to share freely. Thus, the church is to demonstrate compassion. Look at God's compassion. See how God looked at people. See how God loved people. See how God acted in their favor, even though they were so disrespectful toward Him. Look at Jesus, His exemplification of God's compassion in His preaching and healing, His concern for the lost, and in His sacrifice of Himself for the sins of men. Look at how the men taught directly by Jesus instructed the church to demonstrate compassion. When you look at all these things, you're receiving information. You're receiving information about compassion, but you're also receiving information about how to view others and those in need of compassion. Then you're moved. You feel for people who are sinners. You've been there. You know what you needed to convince you of the truth and to motivate you to respond in obedient faith to God. Knowing what you know, who better to share the message with the lost? Beyond this, you have received that great invitation. An invitation to come out of sin, so you need to extend to others that same invitation. The invitation that God gave to you. Then feel for the people who do not know God, for those who are lost because of unbelief, and those who struggle to accept God's love because they don't have a father at home who loves them. So they struggle to understand a father's love and compassion. They struggle to accept what God is offering them because it's very foreign to them. Comfort the mourning. Be gentle with the weak and fragile. Physically feed the hungry and spiritually feed those who are hungering and thirsting for righteousness. Show mercy and show love for one another by deeds that are done and by the teaching of truth. If you are a Christian, you have received God's compassion and received Jesus' sacrifice for your sins. Be motivated by God's compassion then to pass on compassion. Demonstrate God's compassion through the good deeds and the teaching of truth to others. If you're not a Christian yet, receive this information. God is compassionate above all else, above all others. God is compassionate. He loved you so much that He sent His Son to be a living example of His own compassion. To demonstrate to you His love for you by sending His Son to die for your sins and for your forgiveness. Be moved by God's compassion to seek His will and obey Him. Hear the message of truth, Ephesians 1, verse 13. Believe the message of the gospel, Acts 4, verse 4. Repent of sin and return to God, Acts 3, verse 19. Confess Jesus as Lord, Romans 10 and verse 9. And be baptized for the forgiveness of sins, Acts 2 and verse 38. Pass on compassion by feeling for others and actually doing something to help them. Everyone needs compassion, a love that's never failing. Let mercy fall on all of us. Everyone needs forgiveness, the kindness of a Savior, the hope of nations. God is compassionate. Jesus Christ exemplified God's compassion. And as a result, the church is to demonstrate compassion. Tonight you have a great opportunity, a wonderful invitation that comes from the compassionate God. He's inviting you to come and receive compassion.